Chapter 47 Will of God. The highest expression of our spiritual life is, in the last analysis, back again to God. That is what we were made for. In the pattern and design for our living, God said he made us in his own image and likeness. We were created for his glory and his pleasure. All things were created for this. We, the effect of his creation, ultimately are unto the pleasure of God. We were made to know the will of God, and to swing out in that norm. His will may take any pattern, plowing beans or potatoes, or preaching the gospel, it doesn't matter. The fact is, the soul has found an adjustment in God, embraces the will of God, and, if the will of God is for us to work on a farm, that is holy. Why? Because it is the farm? No, that work is an holy rendering because it is the will of God being performed. God is honored and blessed and glorified where his will finds expression. Wherever the will of God is being done, he is automatically glorified. The heavens declare the glory of God. We get the benefit of the light and all that. But it was to the glory of God first. When his will is executed, it is a reflection of his glory. This is true in the inanimate creation, in the mundane, the material world. Wherever he produces a bit of his creative desire, it is always to his glory. Man's great objective, too, is to glorify God. How can we glorify God? By surrendering our will to his and letting his will be wrought in us, then we cannot help but glorify God. Paul says, I want to focus your thoughts, your prayers, your desires, every feature of your being, bound together in a strange cable toward one thing, glorifying God. God is setting before us an objective. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all that ye might enter the pearly gates? No. Do all that the kingdom of God shall come upon the earth? No. Do all to the glory of God. He never changed the objective for man. Man was made to glorify God and to give him pleasure. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It all moves toward God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. How do we glorify God? We can only glorify God by doing his will, and wherever the will of God is done, he is automatically glorified. I have the joy of doing the will of God, but I don't always have the joy of doing the thing which is in the will of God. In our life patterns, if we are dedicated spirits doing the will of God, he says, I can make all these things work together for good, even the devil. Because I am God, and in my permissive will, I introduce all these foreign, strange elements. But I am God, and I can cause them to work together for good to you who are called by me according to my purpose. What is his purpose? For whom did he foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Paul goes on to say, Be not conformed to this world, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't be molded into the popular world mold. Don't allow your life to be cast into that popular world mold and becoming molded into a worldling because that is a world mold. He says it will press. We know in the world they have a lot of troubles, but, you see, they don't let their troubles do them any good. It brings them to a place of defeat. And sometimes suicide. When we do the will of God, we feed him. My meat and my drink is to do the will of God. John chapter 4, verse 34. When did you feed Jesus last? It always pleases me to see how God can work when we let him do what he wants to do. He can establish a work, he can defend a work, and he can do anything he wants to, if we would only get in with his want to, and not say, Lord, I want to, but Lord, what do you want to do? Then we get through. Most people think the will of God is the most superficial thing. Sometimes the will of God is so complicated and intricate and involved that it takes prayer to get us in a place where we can receive or even discern it. Paul found this so. Colossians chapter 1 verses 9 to 11. The will of God is the safest place in the world, but sometimes the most difficult. God still sits on the throne. It is his world. He has a program. He has an infinite will that is pushing down through the centuries and on over into the ages. How sweet and lovely when my little will and your little will is swallowed up in that magnificent one of God. The basic sin in all the world is self-will against the will of God. When we bring it down to its last analysis, it may take 10,000 forms. Every sin that is committed is a form of self-will over against God's. All of us have sinned because we have not perfectly glorified God. All have missed the mark. End of chapter 47. Chapter 48. Word. Oh, the majestic, untouched will of God moving down through the ages. When we move in the will of God, it answers the thousands of questions we may ever have. The most marvelous prayer we can ever pray is, Have your way, thy will be done. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth thee. Bring me the intimation, that word, what is it you want? Walk that way, learn to do that. It takes a little time, but it takes such a burden off us. Now when he speaks that word, it has all the authority of heaven back of it, and it has a creative power when he speaks it in our hearts. A grain of faith always comes with it. Our faith will lay hold of it, and we ought to have it, because we are obedient to a law. Always be careful that the word, the promise, the intimation which is governing you today, and you hold in confidence and faith as a power for your prayer authority, be sure that word is something which God speaks or brings to your heart. He may bring it to you by reading the word. He may bring it through a message. He may bring it by literature. He may bring it by intimation of the Spirit. He may bring it by speaking to your inner heart, even without words. He talks to me many times without words as I walk along with him. Never approach the word as you would any other literature. The Holy Spirit is needed for its revelation. When we deal with the mysteries of God, don't expect to understand them with your natural mind. It is a divine thing. Come to the word with a clean heart, an unbiased spirit, an open mind. There is nothing casual in the word. Everything in the word is full of God. Full of the Spirit and life, every bit of it. It is not an accidental thing. It is perfectly designed and purposely designed, but we read it so casually. In the Old Testament, he gave us our letters. In the New Testament, he puts them together, and in the ages to come, we will read them. You say you read the Word, but you sense something in it you have never really touched yet. You have gotten hold of the letter of the word. You never yet have gotten hold of the fire or the spirit of it. You have to keep your spirit open, not your brains, to get the spirit and life of the word. As soon as the spirit takes hold of the word, he makes it a throbbing reality. The word through which spirit and life can vibrate and move is the vehicle. The word that Jesus brings is, in essence, spirit and life. The Bible is the written letter of the Word, but truth is tremendous. The Bible is the vehicle inspired of God. There is nothing in the world like it. No man could write it. It is divinely inspired. It is the instrument through which life and light vibrate. It is the Word of God, but life moves through it. Life is not in this paper. It vibrates through it, through its message. We have to learn this. Keep your heart open. He is able to speak to you in 1,000 ways and 1,000 tongues. End of chapter 48. Chapter 46. Vision. The world is geared so that it wants everything done right now. But you can't do the work of God that way. We need perspective in our thinking, in our studying, in our approach to God. I am so thankful for what I call perspective in my vision of truth. I know now His purpose, and only as I look away and not too closely at the present am I able to move on at all. We look not at things seen. I must see them all in their logical purpose, but not park on anything too transitory. We are all made to follow a vision of some sort or pattern. All life and activity is due to motivation toward some desired end or purpose. What is our vision, or for what are we living? Where there is no vision, no restraining power in life, the people cast off restraint. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. End of chapter 46.